beautiful Sunday morning. What else have we to say rather to say thank you, Lord? Because we know you allowing us to be alive, God, shows you have plans for us, Lord. We thank you, we give you praise, because we know at the end of this service, you're going to meet every one of us at the point of our needs. Glorious God, in any way we've wronged you, in any way we've undermined your name, in any way, God, we've fallen short of your glory, we beg of you, have mercy, Jesus. Cleanse us, God. Let us be whiter than snow this morning, for our hearts to be open to receive your word. And at the end, your name alone will be highly exalted, Jesus. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. If you believe in that prayer, put your hands together for the Lord. You can be seated in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Very sorry, manage my voice. I've lost my voice, but I trust the power of God to help me communicate to the understanding of the people. And he, the Lord, will do it in the name of Jesus. By the grace of God, about 13 weeks ago, we've started this journey of Pauline episode. And as Christians, we've understood so many things that we didn't understand. A man called me, he said all his life he's been a Catholic. He said, but Pauline episode has helped him understand so many things he didn't understand while he was a Catholic. And also, I must tell us the truth, so many calls appreciating God for the Pauline episode, because as Christians, we never took time to undergo this journey of the missionaries of Paul. We never took time to understand that understanding the journeys of Paul will help shaping our belief and also letting us know that the Bible we are reading was written out of physical activities. It's not an abstract. Paul was not in the revelation and God began to speak to him. But the accounts that we have in the Bible, they are the true activities that happened here on earth. And when we understand these activities, we meditate on them. First of all, we appreciate our Christian life and also appreciate the lives of those who place their lives at risk in order to bring us the gospel. Hallelujah. Like we've been able to debunk the sayings of some of the anti-Christ that Christianity, the Bible, is the religion of the white man. We've been able to understand from the studies of the Pauline episode that it was the same time that the gospel went to Europe. That was the same time the gospel came to Africa. But the Europeans, the Americans, they were able to grab the gospel and they use it to better themselves. And at the end, brought it back to us. But we and them received the gospel almost the same time. So the gospel is not the white man's religion, neither the Bible, the white man book. Hallelujah. Last week, by the grace of God, we saw how Paul has moved all his missionary journeys. And he finally came to Jerusalem because for so many years, he's been collecting offerings for the church in Jerusalem because they were suffering. The famine in the country then was very serious, that the believers in Jerusalem were suffering. So Paul, the churches he planted in Asia, he began to ask them to do some contributions for him to take to the brethren in Jerusalem. So we saw last week, Paul finally brought that offering to Jerusalem. And before he came, we've seen that the Jewish people there, they've developed bitterness for Paul. They've said so many erroneous, dispersed many erroneous information against Apostle Paul. So when Paul finally came to Jerusalem, he went into the temple to observe the Nazarite observation, the Nazarite vow. The Jews from Asia, from Ephesus, saw him in the temple. They raised the alarm, and that was how Apostle Paul was again beaten. When we say Paul was arrested, it's not the type of arrest we see in this democratic setting of the world, whereby you can beat or forcefully arrest somebody by beating them. You have to do it in a civil way. But in the time of Paul, that was not the case. Before they arrest him, they've given him a good beating of his life. I could see blood gushing out of the bodies of Paul. I could see his head swollen. I could see his eyes full of tears. I could see his body broken. And after these things has been mented to Paul, they will arrest him. So we saw last week where when he was arrested by the soldiers and they took him into the castle. So last week, they brought him out. Okay, since your people have accused you, the Roman people, they've accused you. So I want you now to go back to defend yourself so that we will understand actually what has transpired. So last week we saw Paul before the Sanhedrin Council. We understood the breaking or the composition of the Sanhedrin Council. We saw the Lesser Council and the Great Council. And we said the apostles, Peter, John, they've arrived or they appeared in the book of Acts chapter 5 before the great Sanhedrin, where Gamaliel helped them out by asking them to leave them alone. Now the second time, Paul is appearing before this great Sanhedrin council. So when Paul began his defense, like we saw last week, telling them again, wanting to use the opportunity to share the gospel. Anytime Paul appears before the Jews, even though they've arrested him, he just wants to look for a way to preach the gospel. So as usual, he started to build the platform to preach the gospel, and immediately the high priest asked Paul to be smitten. So when they slapped Paul, Paul said, it's not lawful for you to do this. God is going to reward you back what you've done to me. And immediately they say, oh, you are talking to the pastor like this. You don't know this is our pastor? Paul said, sorry, I didn't know he's to be a pastor, because if actually he's to be a pastor wouldn't slap somebody in a church service. And immediately Paul very smartly discovered that the council or the court is not interested to hear the reason why he was arrested, but they were interested to imprison him and possibly crucify him. So Paul brought out another tactic in order to defend himself. So understanding that the Sanhedrin Council is made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he being a Pharisee, his father being a Pharisee, he decided to take side with his people with the intention to divide or to stop the proceeding, the court proceeding, and immediately brought out the belief of the Pharisee that the Sadducees doesn't believe, and that is about resurrection. Now, he now said to the judge, the reason why I am brought here is because I am preaching that there is resurrection. And immediately the Pharisee said, of a truth, there is resurrection. The Sadducees say, no, there is nothing like a resurrection. And the fight began among them in the court. Later we will see a video we just extracted to just give a clue of what happened. So the military people stepped in and they brought out Paul, and they took Paul into the castle for protection. Now, Claudius Lysias, who happened to be the commander of the army in Jerusalem then, so since your people, they've decided to beat you up like this, which means you must be a bad criminal. And don't forget, last week we understood that there is an Egyptian fugitive that is in the wanted list of the military. So they've presumed Paul to be this Egyptian fugitive. And Paul said, no, I am a Jew, I'm not an Egyptian. So when he now brought Paul, he commanded Paul to be beaten again in order to get the truth if Paul is actually that Egyptian. So Paul, understanding his rights, told the commander, is it lawful for a Roman citizen to be beaten? And immediately the commander looked at Paul. He was looking at Paul to be one common person. Say, are you a Roman citizen? Paul said, yes, of course, I'm a born Roman citizen. And the man said, hey. So from that time, Claudius became afraid of Paul, also knowing the law. So he said, okay, they shouldn't beat Paul again, that they should keep Paul in the castle. So that night, while Paul was in the castle, God came and encouraged Paul. So we are starting from the encouragement of God today to Paul, and the direction God gave to Paul, telling Paul, now you have to go to Rome. So we are going to look at, because Paul, for years, has he desired to be in Rome, but he've not been able or opportune to go to Rome. So we will see the reason why he've delayed to go to Rome these years, and we will see the reason why he now decided to go to Rome as we start up part 13 of Pauline episode. Hallelujah. Let me have the slides. Amen. So today we are starting. The Lord encouraged Paul in a night vision. God confirmed his desire to visit Rome. Reasons for his delay visit to Rome. Paul sent prayer points to Rome. The plot to kill Paul in Jerusalem. Paul transferred from Jerusalem to Caesarea. The body of the letter sent to Governor Felix. Beloved of God, pay careful attention, because understanding the pains, the trials, and the journey of Paul will help us appreciate Christianity so much. The next slide. The Lord encouraged Paul in a night vision. He said, the night following, now Paul already has been arrested, he's now in the castle. Now, the night he was in the castle, the next night, the Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, I say, the above is not the first time we see God encouraging Paul in such a serious situation. Beloved of God, how many times have you called your pastor to encourage him? We men of God, we also need encouragement. We have families the way you have your own family. If we tell you how many calls of people's problem we receive, sometimes we leave our own problem, we begin to pray for people online. How many times have you taken your phone to call pastor and you say, pastor, I've just called to bless you. I've just called to say, may he, the Lord, continue to empower you. It means so much for men of God. Because the time the Lord encouraged Paul in Corinth, when he was in Corinth, Paul made up his mind already, because of the continuous rejection of the gospel by the Jews, he made up his mind to leave Corinth. But the night after he made up his mind, the Lord came and encouraged Paul. He said to Paul, I know what you are going through. He said, when he was frustrated by the continuous rejection of the gospel by the Jews, he decided to leave, but God showed up to encourage him. God said, Paul, don't be afraid. I am with you. Do you know that singular encouragement by the Lord to Paul made Paul to stay another 1 year, 6 months in Corinth? Just encouragement. Telling him, I see what you are doing, pastor. I see the stones, I see the arrows being thrown at you. You know, sometimes when you see attacks that comes to pastors, you forget your own immediate problem. You forget your own immediate situation, just attending to people. Tomorrow will be the 65th birthday of Pastor Moses. 65th birthday of Pastor Moses. It's another time to encourage him. It's another time to call him, bless him. I am telling you, the servants of God, we are always the target of the enemy. Don't forget, the Bible says, smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. So the target of the enemy is to smite the shepherd so that the sheep will develop wing and move away. Tomorrow, if it's his birthday, take up phone, call him, send him messages, and if possible, send him an offering of love, letting him know that you are also a recipient of the grace of God in his life. And as you do that, heaven will continue to enrich him with knowledge and revelation to give out to his people in the name of Jesus. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. He said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee. What a comforting word. What a comforting word in the spirit of Paul. To hear the voice of the Lord says, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your tears, in the midst of false accusations, Paul, I am with thee. He said, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. So Lord, having much people that are yet unconverted, that is why Paul still have to continue living. But for him, he's made up already to be with the Lord. So the next one, I say, because of this encouragement from the Lord, Paul continued in Corinth for 1 year and 6 months. You can see the power of encouragement. I said, God already told Paul through that revelation, the revelation to look towards Rome, where he so longed to visit. Paul had longed for so many years to visit Rome. Now we will see the reasons before we move forward. I said, by that revelation, God confirmed Paul's desire to visit Rome. First, Paul, while in Ephesus, desired in the spirit to visit Rome. Let's see that in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 21. The book of Acts, okay, it says, after these things were ended, Paul proposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now, he's in Jerusalem now. So, the next destination from what he desired in Ephesus, his next destination is Rome. And here in Rome, God, through that comforting word, has confirmed his desire of going to Rome. So, according to his epistle to the Romans, he tried many years to visit Rome, unquote, but was let end of quote, Roman 13. Let's take note of this, because so many of us, when we see this, we've interpreted this to be that it was devil or Satan that was stopping Paul not to go to Rome. No, it's not true. You see, that is why you need to get connected to this teaching. So with everything we see that looks somehow, we bring it out and we explain it for our better understanding. Let's see that Romans chapter 1 verse 13, where Paul made that statement. Romans chapter 1 verse 13. He said, now I would not have you ignorant brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as others Gentiles. So many, they've interpreted that hitherto to be he was hindered of the devil. No, we want to see the reason why when he prepared to go to Rome, he will say, no, let me wait a little. Now, I say Paul's reasons for his delay. Reasons for his delay visit to Rome. I say Paul was careful not to preach the gospel where Christ was already named. Take note. One of the first reasons he hesitated or delayed in going to Rome was that Christ had already been named in Rome, and Paul was very careful not to put all his energy where Christ had already been named. We will look at the scripture. Again, I said Christ was already named in Rome, hence this delay in visiting Rome. Another point, I say, as an apostle, Paul was careful not to build on another man's foundation. A foundation already had been laid in Rome, and Paul was careful not to go down there to begin to build on another man's foundation. For example, you and I should ask ourselves this question. There is a very big denomination in the setting. In the street, in every street, almost every street in Lagos, you will see this denomination having 3-4 branches in the streets. One is Dominion Parish, one is Holy Ghost Parish, one is Jesus the King Parish in one street. You are waiting for me to call the name of the denomination. No, I don't want trouble, please. So what Paul is saying now is, since Christ has been named in that street, the other pastors should focus their angle in the area where Christ has not been named. While in one street, one believe, all of you believe in Trinity, all of you believe in woman pastor, all of you believe in wearing women wearing trousers. And in that street, that church has over 4 churches in that street. Is that not confusion? To add to it, there are children that also believe in what they believe. When they have Holy Ghost Parish and the rest, they also come and pitch their churches in that street, and they all believe in the same teaching. So that is not Paul. That is not the apostle. So that will let you know the reason why they are having those many churches that believed one thing in the same street. It's not because they wanted to convert people. It's not. The agenda is different. So Paul was very careful. That is why in this vicinity, we have the Ijesha Church, Bride Assembly Ijesha Church. If Bride Assembly is to bring up another church within here, we saw where we planted another church, Ikorodu. Because it is supposed that since we believe in the same gospel, why will another person go to Ago and put your own tent when Ago is not far from here? Another person goes to First Stack to put his own tent. So you see, the purpose is not actually to preach the gospel, but a different thing. So that has been the delay of Paul going to Rome, because apostles has already built their foundation in Rome, and he wants to go and lay foundation where Christ has not been named. So that is why whenever he wants to go, he said, no, I still have some work to do here. Hallelujah. So I said, in every city, now some of the reasons why he now determined to go to Rome. In every city he went to preach, he could see Rome's influence there. In Asia, in Ephesus, in Corinth, in Greece, in Philippines. Because then the Roman Empire was in control. Very powerful then. So in every city Paul went to, he could see the influence of Rome. So he would say, I have to visit this Rome. Even though Christ has been named there, but is also a Gentile nation, let me take this gospel also there with the revelations the Lord has given me. So this is one of the strong reasons Paul determined to go to Rome. Another one, as an apostle to the Gentiles, he wanted to take the gospel of Christ to the world's center of influence and power. Just as I have said, during that time, Rome was the world, Italy was the world center of power from Rome. Hallelujah. So Paul wanted to go and preach, to talk to the ogres. If he converts them, certainly the world is converted. For example, in Thailand, where I lived for years, The people sees the king as they call him Pachao Yuhua. Pachao Yuhua means Godhead. They see the king as Godhead. So many evangelical movements that have gone there, their target is to get the royal family. If you get the royal family and the king stands up today and make a decree and say, today I have become a Christian, I am telling you, 80% of Thailand citizens, because the king made that pronouncement, they will turn and become Christians. So Paul wanted to go to that seat of power if he could get the ogres on top and show them Christ. That was the reason he determined to go again. Hallelujah. I said, when he was satisfied with what he was doing, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Lycaon, Illyricum, he have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Take note. Now, the reason why Paul made up his mind to go to Rome now is because, one, to him, he said, he have fully preached the word of Christ in that region. So we see where Paul is now saying, there is no place around here again for me to preach. I have named Christ around this area. Okay, let me go now to Europe fully. Now, that is Romans 15. I say, his ultimate destination is Spain. When you read his gospel, you will understand Paul is not going to Rome because he wanted to go to Rome. Paul is going to Spain. Christ has not been named in Spain. So Spain is in the mind of Paul. But Paul needed a base. Remember, during his first and second missionary journey, the church of Antioch in Asia was his base. So whenever he launched out, he comes back home to the church of Antioch. Now, Antioch will be very far from Rome to Spain, making those places his base. Now, since Christ has already been named in Rome, Paul wants to go there again to establish relationship with the church there, so that he will make there also his base in order to preach in Spain's Barcelona and all his environs. Are you taking note of this? I say his ultimate destination is Spain, but he wants the church in Rome to be responsible for his journey to Spain. Take note, we want to read some scriptures now. First of all, let's take the book of Romans, chapter 15, 23 and 24. Romans 15, 23 and 24. Take note. He said, but now, having no place, you see, this is his letter to the people of Rome, but now having no place, in this part, in the area of Asia, he've already preached them, all of them, Christ has been named by him and by those he've imparted the knowledge to. So they are doing good job. As of Paul, he doesn't have any more place here, new foundation. Now he wants to move to Europe. Take note. But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, that is in Rome 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, you see, now his focal mind is Spain. Christ had not been named in Spain. But let us see what he wants to do with the church in Rome. He said, I will come to you. When he wants to go to Spain, he will first of all come to the church in Rome. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought. Now, the church of Rome is to bring Paul on his way. That is a terminology. He said, and to be brought on my way hitherward by you. Now I am going to Spain, but I will come to you. As believers, you know the tradition of sending forth a missionary. So when I come, I will be sent to Rome by you. Praise Master Jesus. Now I will need some men from you to follow me, Not only that, also we will also need some financial help to go for that mission. That is what this connotes, that I and be brought on my way by brought on my way hitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So when I come, we will first of all establish relationship. If you people now found me worthy of an apostle, now you will bring me on my way. Bringing me on my way is to mobilize the necessary support for a missionary journey into Spain. Now, by road, Rome is not far from Barcelona, about a 12-hour drive. From Rome to Barcelona is about 12 hours drive. So it's just like somebody leaving Lagos going to the north. So it's not a big difference for Paul to meet up. So we've seen that terminology there. Praise Master Jesus. Again, let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 9, 7. Take note. He said, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charge? Praise the Lord. So when you are under an organized setting as a church, when there is need for missionary journey and you are being sent forth by the church takes responsibility of your going out to preach. Praise Master Jesus. Nobody goes to war on his own charge. Our military that do go to war to other nations, they go to war with the taxpayers' money. We are the one funding their expenses. We say, okay, go and fight. Don't walk. Don't do anything. That is why the law of a civil servant, it is law for wrong for a civil servant to have another part walk to what he's doing. It is wrong. It's against the law. Because you are supposed to be food, not this type of where we are, where our militaries and the rest, they are not well taken care of. So they have to do side hustle in order to survive their life. But the actual law, it says that they take good care of you, so you are not distracted. We are the ones taking care of them while they are fighting. So Paul wants to establish this relationship with the church in Rome, so that they will also become part and responsible to his missionary journey in Spain and around his environs. Is that clear? God bless you. Let's see the second, Romans chapter 10, 14 and 15. Romans 10, 14 and 15. Oh, Jesus, help us with our time. Romans 10. He said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The people in Spain, for example, he said, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? He said, and how shall they hear without a preacher? One, Paul is a preacher, verse 15. He said, and how shall the preacher preach? How shall Paul go to Spain except they sent him? Sending him there is to package him, give him all the necessary enablement, including financial support, in order to preach that which the people in that region they've not heard. So one of the reasons now Paul are so determined to go to Rome, his focal point actually is Spain, but he wants to establish relationship with the church in Rome to be sent forth to Spain to continue the preaching of the gospel in Europe. Put your hands together for Apostle Paul. The next line. I say, but now having no place, this is the statement of Paul on quote, having no place in this part and having a great desire this years to come unto you. I say, Paul traveling to Rome through Jerusalem, he was fully aware of the dangers that awaits him in Jerusalem. He gave 3 prayer points to the church in Rome before he embarked on this journey. I heard a pastor, he's saying, what is the meaning of prayer points? You ask people to write prayer points. It's not biblical. It's not true. Apostle Paul himself sent, raised up intercessors in Rome to intercede for him because of the journey he's going to Jerusalem. He sent his own prayer point, his own personal prayer point to Rome, that they should be interceding for him while he's on his way going to Jerusalem. The next slide. Paul's prayer point. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers over there in Rome to God for me." You people should pray for me. Now, these are the prayer points. You can look at those prayer points in Romans 15, 30 to 32. Because of our time, let me read it. He said, "That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." Prayer point two. "That my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." Prayer point three. "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God." Hallelujah. So this was what Paul sent to them in Rome to intercede for him on his journey to Jerusalem. Now, because he's fully aware that there is a problem already in Jerusalem, that is why he's converting their prayers for his journey. Now, this is the awareness he knew already what he was already suffering in Jerusalem. He said, "And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." But he was already aware that there is trouble. But the details of that trouble, he doesn't know. But he was aware that there was going to be trouble. Oga, that is why when I see people undermine the ministry of Paul by saying Paul made the Bible is not correct because Paul did this, bro. These people, they don't know who Paul. They've not studied the episode of Paul. Paul is truly a soldier. Me here, and I want to go to Kaduna. They say, "Boy, if you go there, they will arrest you, put you in prison. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, prophecy." I'm not going. I will say, "Let me stay here." But that wasn't Paul. Paul wants to go down there. Even at the expense of his life, Paul wants to die. He's made up his mind. I say, okay. He said, that's another quote. "The Holy Spirit already prepared him that in every city, bonds and afflictions are with him." So the prophecy of Agapus and the Red was to confirm what he already knows. That will happen in Jerusalem. And I said, Paul already signed his death warrant because of Christ, determined and resolved in his mind. Take note of Paul's statement. So all these quotes, you can see the scripture in Acts 20, 22 to 24. So because of our time, I'm not reading it. Go back to that slide. Unquote. This is the statement of Paul. He said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy." He signed his death warrant. He's ready to die, only to finish his assignment with joy. Now, we are now back to where Paul was arrested in the castle now. Remember yesterday, there was a plot to kill him after he distorted the proceedings. I said, remember that the Sanhedrin Council was divided in the last appearing of Paul. Let's see a little clips that might depict what actually happened on the day of Paul and how the military went in. Just take a look. That was Paul being dragged by the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Being dragged, they were hitting him. "Hey, Paul, you want to divide our court? You want to divide our court?" That is Paul being dragged. Being dragged by the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Look at them, dragging Paul in their court. And immediately the military now will come in. Look at the military. Coming in by the command of the commander to bring out Paul before these people will tear him. That is the military in their midst. Look at the military. Now they've rescued Paul. Look at them carrying Paul. Look at Paul. Look at Paul carrying Paul. Put your hands together for the Lord. That was just a clip to depict what is. It was more severe than what I've just extracted. Hallelujah. I say, because of that uproar, remember, it was big religious bodies that were fighting. So they scattered the court that day. Because of this, over 40 men, they vowed to kill Paul. So you've come to destroy our court. So they vowed to kill Paul. They agreed that they will never eat nor drink anything until they had killed Paul. Because Paul has destroyed their court. They actually brought their plan of killing Paul to the chief priest, and they concurred to it. They brought the plan. After they have agreed, they came to the chief priest and the elders and said, okay, this is what we've agreed. That guy, Paul, we are going to kill him. But you people also have to play part in the killing of Paul so that we will actualize it. Let's see the strategy they brought out in order to kill Paul. Now, strategy on how to kill Paul. Chief priest and the elders, you will play your role. Your role now is to call Commander Claudius to tell the chief commander that the Sanhedrin Council have settled their differences, and as such, he should bring Paul to continue his trial. Chief priest, you people have the connection to the commander. Tell the commander we have resolved our matter. Now he can bring Paul now for Paul to continue his trial. And they say, oh, these are supposed to be pastors. These are supposed to be religious body leaders conspiring to kill an innocent man. And that is still playing out even today in our generation. Even today in our generation. Now, the role of the 40 men is above 40, according to the scripture. They will lay ambush. Why the commander is now bringing Paul to continue his trial, they will lay ambush in the bush. And immediately Paul is coming, they will kill Paul on his way to the court, well sealed and well perfected. I speak to your life. Any day your enemy will be conspiring on how to destroy you, may God plant an informer that will bring the information to you in the name of Jesus. While they were planning this, the Lord allowed the nephew of Paul to be among them. And they thought he was a small boy. The boy was playing, licking his sweet and chewing his biscuit in their midst. They didn't know he was recording their discussion. Immediately, they finished. I said, see that boy, leave him. He's a small boy. You see him, he's playing with toy. But they didn't know God has given him the understanding of a matured man. They were seeing him as a small boy, but in his understanding, God has equipped him to extract the whole discussion because of his servant, Apostle Paul. So immediately they finished, the little boy ran into the barracks, and he said, I want to see my uncle. I want to see my uncle. They allowed him to see Paul. And he said, uncle, yesterday, the chief priest and people, 40 men above, they said they want to kill you. Now they said they will tell the chief priest to ask the commander to bring you to court. So when you are coming, the 40 men, they are hiding in the bush. They will kill you. Paul said, eh? He said, yes, uncle, I heard them while they were discussing it. And Paul knew this was an expo from the Holy Ghost. Make a joyful noise to the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, okay, please. He called the soldier. He knelt down. If you read this scripture, Luke said, Paul passionately begged us, that the soldier, to allow the little boy to meet with the commander. And they took the little boy to meet with the commander. He said, Paul asked us to bring this boy to you. He has something to tell you. And he said, okay, come privately. Took the little boy privately. And the little boy narrated the same thing he told Paul, narrated it to the commander. Not every military personnel is a bad person. Commander Claudius Lysias, he is a man of integrity, pillared with good conscience. Immediately he absorbed this plan, God used him to make out way to protect Paul. Now, these people were supposed to be religious leaders, thus plotting evil against Paul. Like I said, they were ready to kill an innocent man just the way they killed Christ. Remember, Christ was brought under Pontius Pilate during his time by the religious people. Even when the man say, "I have nothing wrong against this person," they say, "Kill him. In fact, he's not worthy to live." They are repeating the same thing now before the Lord's servant, Apostle Paul. I say, God used Paul's nephew, that little boy, to expose the plan just to save the life of Paul. May God expose the plans of your enemy in 2023 in the name of Jesus. And when he exposed that plan, may he raise up a man in authority to back you up with whatever resources needed in the name of Jesus. Let us have the next slide. Now, the man fully aware of the plan to kill Paul, by this reveal, the commander Claudius Lysias quickly acted in favor of Paul. God used him to deliver his servant from the hands and plans of his enemies. Commander Claudius transferred Paul to the Roman seat of power. Now, so that they will now accuse him of taking side, they will not come to bribe him. He now decided to transfer Paul from his command to another higher command. Now, Paul was transferred from Jerusalem to Caesarea by the command of the army commander Claudius. Now, Caesarea was the Romans' headquarters for that region, for that area. While Jerusalem was just the seat of Jewish government, Jewish power. So, by the action of Claudius transferring Paul, you see, sometimes when you have case in Lagos, and you feel that the case is going to work against you, and you think the people they want to take bribe, like you hear pastor talking about the fighting of this land, when it becomes aware to him that they want to play games with the handling of the land in Lagos, he said, why they were inviting him to come, he as a spirit-filled man, he knew that when he gets there, they will arrest him. And said, okay, be here, let us be checking. He immediately used his contact in Abuja. They established the case in Abuja. And from Abuja, they called Lagos. And they said, hey, the case between Bride Assembly and this, refer the matter to Abuja. Case closed. Case closed. So it's Abuja now that has the higher power to handle the matter. Lagos now, they will only be grumbling. So that was what the commander used the tactics to do. Now that you people, I'm familiar with you, let me now transfer the case to higher power. So then Caesarea was the Roman headquarters for that region. So Claudius Lystra was the Roman commander, military commander in Jerusalem, and by his order, Paul was protected to Caesarea by overwhelming military force. I just want us to see the problem, the trouble Paul was. For the commander to have used the taxpayer's money to fortify Paul, just single one man, to use the taxpayer's money to fortify Paul, just to transfer him from Jerusalem to Caesarea. To do that, the commander released 200 foot soldiers. Soldiers, 200, just to escort one man. He released 200 soldiers. And in addition to the 200 soldiers, he released another 70 horsemen riding in horse to escort one man. So, you see, when you don't take note to see the problem Paul was, you will come out and be undermining the ministry of Paul. May God forgive you all in the name of Jesus. In addition to that, he also released 200 spare men with their spares, waiting to kill anyone that comes around Paul. These are the military protection that Claudius gave to Paul in escorting Paul from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And in addition to that, he now wrote a letter so that the man he's sending Paul to, that is Governor Felix, will respect his letter. So no matter the accusations the people will bring, the man will first of all respect his letter because they are walking in the same spirit. So he will be defending Paul based on what he wrote concerning Paul. Very important. And that is why if you are working under a boss that will recommend your promotion or your demotion, it is very, very careful to be obedient. Because whatever he writes, you are not there to defend what he wrote. So what he writes stands for you unless God intervenes. Hallelujah. Now, a letter to Governor Felix explaining the situation. So these are the things that Claudius gave in order to move Paul. Hallelujah. Now I say the position of Felix as the governor of Caesarea, sitting in Caesarea, was the same position Pontius Pilate had during the time of Jesus. So the time of Jesus is gone. It's now Paul. Pontius Pilate is no longer there. The person that is there now is Governor Felix. Now, Claudius in his letter stated that he asked Paul's accusers, that is the Sanhedrin Council and the Jews, all of them, to meet Paul in Abuja. So they should leave from Lagos, enter plane. Those that will enter night bus, those that will trek, they should all trek and go to Abuja. The case has been transferred from Lagos to Abuja. So the case should start here and there. But let's see the letter that man wrote. That's why I said he's a man of integrity, pillared by good conscience. Let's see the letter he wrote to accompany Paul to Governor Felix. You see, this is his name. This also gives the credence to the writings of Paul's letter. In those days when they are writing letter, you start with your name. So that is how we knew that Paul was actually who wrote those episodes. He said, Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greetings. This man, which is Paul, was taken of the Jews, and and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him. Having understood that he was a Roman, remember, that was where the fear came, when he understood that Paul was a Roman citizen. He said, when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council. That is the Sanhedrin Council. Okay. He said, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. The next slide. He said, and when it was told me, that is the little boy, when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straight away to thee, that is Governor Felix, and gave commandments to his accusers also, to say before Governor Felix what they had against him. Farewell. Hallelujah. You see how favorable this letter is. So this letter already concluded already that Paul don't have any case to handle. So let the people come to Abuja. Paul don't have any case. But as we go, we will see how the devil came in. But God was still in charge. Now, Governor Felix received this letter and also received Paul. And he asked Paul, are you truly a Roman citizen? Paul said, yes. He said, of which region? Paul said, I am from Cilicia. Yes, I am from Cilicia. He said, oh, you are my brother now. So he commanded Paul to be kept in Herod's judgment hall until his accusers come to Abuja. Hallelujah. So by the grace of God, next week, his accusers will be in Abuja. Let's give them time for those who will trek, and those who will take bus, and those who will take plane, for them all to arrive in Abuja for the case to start up next week. God bless you. Can we entertain one question or two in regards to what we've just said, or contribution? Or contribution. Amen. Okay, if there is none, which means it's well understood. Put your hands together for our God. Let's be on our feet. Lift up your hands and begin to appreciate God. Lift up your